Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. Rikers Island once belonged to Richard Riker. Did you know that? There was an actual guy named Riker, a descendant of Dutch immigrants, the Van Ryken family, who was the first district attorney, was Richard Riker, for New York County in the mid-1800s. New York County is Manhattan. According to New York City historians, Richard Riker infamously abused the Fugitive Slave Act and created papers that allowed free black people to be kidnapped and sold into slavery in the South. Hold on to that. Then it was a military training base during the Civil War. Then it was a home to vegetable and pig farms. It also served as a landfill for the city. Then jails were built in the 1930s, and the island slowly acquired a reputation for deep-seated corruption, dysfunction, and widespread violence.
It's closing once and for all. It's not coming back.
After 80 years, the New York City Council is expected to vote today on whether to close the island as a jail by 2026. But the plan to replace it with four borough-based jails has been controversial for some who say the city shouldn't create new jails at all. Joining us now, reporter for The City, news organization The City, the nonprofit news organization, Rachel Holiday Smith, who used to be a Brian Lehrer show producer, by the way, and politics reporter for Spectrum News New York One, Gloria Pazmino, is in our studio as well. Thanks for joining us this morning, Rachel and Gloria.
Great to be here.
Why are some advocates still against the borough-based jails proposals, Gloria?
Well, I would say this opposition, you can sort of divide up into three groups of people. There are some council members who believe that the way to improving the criminal justice system is not to close Rikers, but to improve it and to change everything that is at the heart of the system that is causing these problems. Then there are another group of people who simply don't want facilities in their neighborhoods or don't like where the facilities are planned. And then there's a third group of council members who believe that the city should not be putting billions of dollars into building new jails that will eventually detain people. They believe it perpetuates the America's problem with incarceration, and they don't want to support it for that reason.
It's an interesting coalition, Rachel, right? It's sort of people who think criminal justice reform is going too far with people who think criminal justice reform isn't going far enough.
Yeah, absolutely. The folks in the council who oppose it range from Republicans in Queens to folks in East Brooklyn who say that the communities affected by mass incarceration are just not getting enough. And also, as Gloria said, folks who are next to these proposed jail sites. I cover Manhattan, so I talk to folks in Chinatown who simply don't like it for the reasons that they next door to them will have dust and noise and larger buildings. So it really is a range of folks. It's people who wouldn't otherwise come together on something.
And we can take a few phone calls from anybody who has an opinion on this. I think this is kind of last call for commenting on the Rikers Island closing and replacing with four borough jails proposal, because, you know, we've been talking about a lot here, but last call because the vote is scheduled for about 1:30 this afternoon, and I guess votes can be undone in the future, since this isn't supposed to be completed till 2026. But for the moment, in the current political process, last call. So if you want to make it your call, 212-433-WNYC, pro, con, mixed, or a question, 212-433-9692. And Gloria, I know you've been keeping a tally of how council members intend to vote. How are the heads?
Well, at my last count, we had 28 votes in favor of the proposal. You need 26 votes in order to pass legislation in the council. So 28 votes, that's certainly not a landslide. And we don't know what's happened since last night, which is when I last took a count. We are expecting some members who remained undecided as of yesterday to back the proposal. They haven't said so publicly yet. A lot of the members who I spoke to have said to me that they weren't ready to publicly say how they would vote, but that they were leaning yes. At the end of the day, this has been a negotiation between both sides of City Hall, the City Council, and Mayor de Blasio's administration. And I believe that members were holding out until the last possible minute to see what kind of concessions they could get out of the administration so that they could go back to their districts and say, yes, I voted in support of this, but this is what we are getting as a result of these changes that are coming to the district.
And Rachel, there are some last minute sweeteners mm-hmm. that the mayor and his people put in hopes of making it more acceptable, at least in some of the boroughs, including Manhattan, that you cover, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Margaret Chin represents Chinatown, and she was very proud to announce, you know, that the jail height is coming down for her, the site in her district, but also in the other three boroughs. So that was a big headline for the council members. I don't know if the critics are totally happy with that, but that is one big thing. There's also millions of dollars earmarked for community services, community budget items for folks who have been affected by mass incarceration. But I would say that the fiercest critics of this are not satisfied by some of these last minute, you know, goodies. Especially, I should say, no new jails has been the loudest critic of this plan in general. And they are still exactly where they were, which is to say, this is not good enough. There's no guarantee that Rikers will actually close. They do not want to see any new jails and think that the ones that exist now in the boroughs are sufficient.
Carol in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. What I wanted to say was, why can't they just turn it into a university or a college? I truly believe that education is the way to get rid of crime.
Well, what do you do to listeners who might hear that and say, yeah, that's great, and of course, probably, you know, every inmate should have access to education, but if somebody commits a violent crime, an assault, whatever, do you not also need the jails?
Everyone can be reformed, but education would be the marker of where they're at.
I'll say, just,
thank you so much.
Yeah, one response to that is there's no answer to what Rikers Island may become. That's one idea. Folks have come up with lots of ideas for what it might turn into. And I'll just mention, if folks don't know, that in the council members are pushing forward a proposal that will at least ban Rikers Island to be used as an incarceration facility after 2026. So we at least know what it maybe won't be. The council has to finalize that, but there are lots of ideas about what Rikers Island could become.
Gwen in East Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gwen.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on this because I think that we see this all over New York, and I first was stunned at this, the concept by Cory Booker of tearing down projects. And if you just tore the projects down, life was going to fix itself. But, you know, the bricks and the mortar are not the problem. The problem is the lack of funding to the projects, which make them inhabitable. And what you have behind that is always those land grabs. And I think that this is another situation that's identical to that. You cannot solve the problem of Rikers by tearing down the bricks and the mortar because they're not hurting anybody. What's hurting people is the lack of funding, the lack of good management. And to me, all we're doing is we're transporting the problem out to a couple of other places and making some more people miserable. I mean, I am so tired of seeing everything in this city get torn down for some ridiculous reason that's given. And I think this is a fairyland story saying, listen, if you just get rid of these mean walls, everybody's going to be happy.
No. Well, Glenn, let me jump in with something that I know the mayor says about this and get your reaction. Because he talks about how the design of Rikers is actually not amenable, the physical infrastructure of it, to the kinds of humane design elements that they're going to put into the new jails. And our reporters will go over what some of those are, but that it's actually going to be much easier and more conducive to making them better managed places, more humane places, safer places, if they can start over.
Do you want to comment?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my comment is that I'm a preservationist. And, you know, 20 years ago, they were tearing down PS 109 in my neighborhood, and I saved the school.
Uh-huh.
And the school is standing today. And everybody said the same thing. It cannot be saved. It's structurally unsound. In fact, it was fiscally responsible to save it. And had it been turned into a public school, you would have saved millions and billions of dollars had you just used it as a public school instead of art space.
Right.
So
is there something of historical significance? I'm a little surprised to hear a preservationist argument here. Is there something of historical or architectural significance that makes you want to put Rikers in that category?
No, there's nothing significant or historical. The point I'm trying to make on this particular level is that every building can be restored and changed. It doesn't have to be just torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the fact that this has any historical significance or anything close to anybody's heart. But the fact of the matter is the building's up. And the problems that you have found at Rikers were not problems of people, of walls and brick and mortar. There were
mm-hmm.
people problems, and they were problems that are had because we don't fund these programs enough. We cut back so much. So you can't, to me, underneath of it, I am
mm-hmm.
sure, I am positive there's a land grab. And just one last thing, Brian, on the issue of preservation historical. You know, Harlem right now is to lose five historically significant churches, to be torn down and glass boxes replace them. And, you know, I hear all kinds of reasons for why this is a good idea. And it's not. We're losing whole hunks of the fabric of this city. Now, they're not two of the same problems, but as a preservationist,
mm-hmm.
the point I was trying to make to you.
Is
anything can be restored, and it always is fiscally more sound than tearing it down.
Thank you so much. Gloria, how much is infrastructure the issue at Rikers, according to those who are advocating this?
So I think that the caller raises a good point, but I think one that has been lost in the discussion around this issue, because the fact of the matter is that, yes, Rikers is a group of buildings that have a lot of problems inside of them. But a lot of the problems that we find at Rikers are linked to the culture that is found within those buildings. And when you talk about corrections, we're talking about facilities that don't have air conditioning. And that might sound like a small thing, and maybe there are people who believe, well, these people are in jail and it's not supposed to be comfortable.
Not a small thing in August.
But exactly. These are things that lead to, you know, when people are being held and they're being held in uncomfortable position and in uncomfortable conditions, rather, it has a cascading effect. And it's not just the people who are being detained. There are people, public servants, that work inside those buildings. There are correction officers that are tasked with keeping the place in order. So there is something about the way that Rikers was designed all those years ago that prevents that kind of culture to be able to be put into place today. Is just simply, from a design perspective, it doesn't allow for it.
In the headcount that you were enumerating before, at last count as of last night, before this 1:30 vote this afternoon on closing Rikers and replacing it with four borough-based jails in four different boroughs, Staten Island, you're off the hook right now. 28-26, this is a city council of 51 people. 48 Democrats, is that right? Three Republicans-ish. So they very often have these overwhelming votes
mm-hmm.
with almost everybody on the same side. So 28-26 represents kind of the ambivalence that a lot of the members mm-hmm. must be approaching this with. And here's an example of that. It's Council Member Adrian Adams from Southeast Queens talking about her ambivalence through her connections to Rikers.
Having a child that has gone through the system could have been a lot worse, but also on the other side of the coin, being raised by a correction officer. So having lived the life of a child whose mother very proudly, I might add, retired as a captain from the Department of Corrections and worked in Rikers Island for many, many years. I was a latchkey kid under her leadership and guidance. So you're looking at a product of a CO, a proud product of a CO who, when I told her mom, we're going to be talking about Rikers and closing Rikers, she said, baby, they should have closed it a long time ago.
City Council Member Adrienne Adams of Queens. Rachel, does that kind of represent, I mean, she's got all these personal connections, but does it also represent the ambivalence of a lot of members?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, I've hardly ever been in a hearing or a meeting about this where similar emotions didn't come up. I mean, this is a really, a lot of people want to see this closed, but a lot of people have different feelings about how and why. And I just absolutely loved that soundbite. I mean, it gets it. So many of the things that I've heard over and over again. And I also would just say that this idea of closing Rikers that we're dealing with right now is a recent, relatively recent idea, but closing Rikers has been on people's minds for decades, since 1978 when they first started thinking about it. Through the Bloomberg administration, Marty Horn tried and failed to sort of put it on people's minds. So this has really been an effort for decades.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad you played that soundbite, Brian, because yesterday when that was going on, you know, it was an emotional hearing. The subcommittee took a vote yesterday, which is why they're having the final vote today. Mm-hmm. But I thought the councilwoman's statement there at the end really kind of summed it all up, how this issue is really in no way black and white. And it's complex, and it's been a complex vote for many of them to have to take. People have personal connections to the island. People have personal opinions about what they think of the state of the criminal justice system and what should be done in order to reform it. And those are real things. Those are real things that these members are thinking about when they take these votes. And I think it's how these process, how these things and these debates are supposed to happen. They're supposed to be well thought out. They're supposed to be heartfelt. And you could really see the reality of that in her statement there yesterday.
So last thing, Rachel, what happens tomorrow if they vote to close Rikers today?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we don't know. You know, the caller mentioned sort of the building and what's going to change in the building. We don't actually know the design of the buildings that are going to be built inside or out. We don't know exactly how the funding that the mayor has said is going to go towards, you know, services for folks who are coming out of detention will exactly look like. We also don't know what's going to happen to Rikers Island. So there's a lot of things that still need to be hashed out. We'll be covering all of it, but it's a fascinating mm-hmm. development in the city.
Rachel Holiday Smith, Manhattan reporter for the nonprofit news organization The City, and from Spectrum News New York One, politics reporter Gloria Pazmino. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.